Well, greetings in Jesus, and welcome to Highways and Byways. Whether you're a first-timer to a Highways and Byways CD or a regular listener, I'm simply delighted that a copy of this CD has found its way into your CD player. Over the next 75 minutes or so, I offer to you Church Out of the Box. We hope to lift your spirit with excellent music from our indie music artists. These are folks that are out there working a regular job in most cases, just like you and me, but they don't have a big record deal with a major label. But the quality of music and the heart to bless others is there in a wide variety of styles, so there's bound to be something to touch your heart along the way. Now, we don't strive to be different just for the sake of being different, although this whole approach to offering ways to be connected with your Creator is anything but traditional or religious in nature. Yes, I'm convinced that the Bible is 100% accurate and 100% relevant for everything and anything that we can encounter or have need of. But I'm not inclined to long spells of preaching with this project. I'll leave that to the times that I find myself behind a pulpit, a platform, or whatever other venue the Lord sees fit to put me in when it's time for straight-ahead preaching or teaching sermons. We should all understand that the true Church of Jesus is not limited to a building or a particular denomination, and it is certainly not limited to those who think that their mode of worship is the only proper way to approach God. The Lord Himself makes the rules, doesn't He? The rule of thumb from the mouth of Jesus Himself was put to us this way, in John 4:23. Indeed, the time is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for people like that to worship Him. If your Heavenly Father is looking for people who will worship Him in spirit and truth, all we need to do in order to catch His attention is to make certain that the traditions of religion don't get in the way, that we remain hungry to grow in spiritual matters as we seek God and He pours His Spirit out upon us and in us. Therefore, in spirit and truth, we'll worship Him with music, answer some spiritual questions along the way, offer a few reasons to chuckle a little bit with some good clean humor and maybe a gospel comedy sketch thrown in for good measure. We'll spend some time with the evolution versus creation debate with the help of Ken Ham from over at Answers in Genesis. We'll take some time to hear from Rob Lacey and his excellent street-level translation of the Bible. He set it to an audio drama format, and the work is called The Word on the Street. We hope to challenge you to grow in the knowledge and the grace of the Lord with these and other segments that are coming up. We have a few end-time report updates to bring you from yours truly as we continue to monitor the events around the world as they line up with biblical prophecy. That about covers it for now, my friend. Now, here's an important FYI. All the credits and contact information will be found on the last track of this CD. We choose to do it this way in order to keep things flowing as we move from segment to segment. This seems a good time then to spin our first song. Welcome once again to Highways and Byways. I pray that you're blessed.
Doesn't seem so clear.
Things have become awful fuzzy, haven't they? Kind of like the song describes. You know, I can remember a time from my childhood years. I was about 10 years of age. I had just come from a children's crusade at a local church where I heard for the first time that I can recall about how God created heaven and earth and everything in it. The man up on the platform was also talking about God's Son, Jesus, and how God loved us so much that He sent His Son to pay the price for our sinful nature. Now, He told us that it made it all possible for us to go to heaven if only we would believe and invite Jesus into our hearts. But I was stuck on the first part of what He was saying, because my teachers at school were telling me that I came into existence from some big bang, and then we gradually evolved out of the sea, became different kinds of creatures, finishing up with a jump from the monkey stage onto human. Now, to make matters even more fuzzy and downright confusing, my father had never told me anything about how we all got here. There was never any conversation about it until I came home from the children's crusade and asked him if he believed in God. He looked me dead in the eye and he said, "There is no God, boy, and don't ever bring it up again." Well, what happened next was the beginning of my own search for the truth, because for the first time in my life, I had a strong sense that my father was wrong about something, and I needed to have a peace within myself about the whole matter. And what I found was a world filled mostly with a bias, even though I didn't know what bias meant at the time. This bias said that Jesus was a good man, but not God, not Savior, not creator of the universe. In my heart, something told me that there had to be a way to be certain about it all. And that was 40 years ago. And now at 50, I have that peace, and I've sought and studied and ultimately exercised the one thing that turns the fuzziness into clarity. That is faith, my friend. And while the evidence is all around you and I to help us find a truth about where we came from, unless the bias gives way to a genuine faith, it will always remain fuzzy for the doubter at best. Well, here's Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis with some very helpful thoughts about just this kind of fuzzy knowledge that hinders so many people from connecting with their Creator.
I'd like to tell you about a typical conversation that often goes on in America's public school system. It's really a good example of the bias surrounding creation. After a presentation, one student stated, "There's no way Noah's Ark could be true. Noah couldn't have fitted all the animals on board." "Well, how many animals would have been on the ark?" he was asked. The standard reply, "I don't know, but it certainly couldn't have happened." Then he'd be asked, "How big was the ark?" He answered, "I don't know, but Noah couldn't have fitted all the animals on board." So without knowing how big Noah's ark was or how many animals God would have needed, this student had already decided the account of Noah's ark was a fairy tale and couldn't have possibly happened. So how can someone's bias like this change? You know, it's only through the work of the Holy Spirit that our biases can change. But our responsibility is to give answers for what we believe, such as how easy it would have been to fit the kinds of land animals needed on Noah's ark and let God open their hearts to the truth. As I began a radio debate with an evolutionist on a talk show, the host said, "Well, Ken, the evolutionists seem to have all the facts on their side. Do you have any facts to support your position on creation?" I answered and said, "Actually, I have the same facts as the evolutionist." Well, the host and the evolutionist were quiet for a moment until the host asked, "What do you mean?" I then said, "Well, whether you're an evolutionist or creationist, we all have the same earth, same fossils, same rock layers, same animals, and so on, which means we all really have the same facts." I then continued by saying, "The battle between creation and evolution is not really about facts, but about how you interpret the facts of the present in relation to the past. Evolutionists have a different belief about the past than the creationists, and thus they interpret the same facts differently." I also explained that I interpret most of the fossil record as being the result of Noah's flood, not millions of years of processes, as evolutionists would say. And you know what? The evidence from the rocks supports the creationist interpretation. When you take the Bible as your foundation and build your models of science and history upon it, actually all the evidence from the animals, plants, and fossils do speak of a creator. The Bible tells us there's enough evidence in the world to convince people that God is creator. So why do many deny this foundational truth? Sadly, it's because they don't want to see it, not because the evidence is not there. And why don't they want to acknowledge the Creator God of the Bible? Well, to do so would be to admit they're accountable to God, who owns them and has a right to set the rules. And because of man's rebellious heart, all of us want to write our own rules. The Apostle Peter warns us that in the last days, men will deliberately forget that God created the world. There's a willful choice not to believe. Ultimately, though, it's God who lets people see the truth. Our job at Answers in Genesis is to make sure they know it's the Bible's history that's true, and thus the gospel based in that history is also true.
Well, Ken, I've always understood that a Christian has to accept God's word by faith. Is it right, though, to say we can't prove the Bible?
Well, yes, it is right, in the sense that scientifically we can't prove anything ultimately in relation to the past. But it's important for people to understand that Christians don't have a blind faith acceptance of God's word. You see, if the Bible's history concerning creation, the fall, Noah's flood, and the Tower of Babel are true, then this history should explain what we observe in the world around us. And it does, of course. For example, the flood makes sense of the fossils all over the earth. The Tower of Babel enables us to understand why there are different people groups who've descended from one man, Adam. And the fall of Adam and Eve makes sense of why there's death and suffering in this world. Not only this, but observational science confirms such interpretations. For example, the Human Genome Project found that from the study of genetics, all humans belong to one race, just as the Bible teaches. We can't prove the Bible's true, but we can confirm its truth using observational science. Christianity is not a blind faith. It's a logical and defensible faith.
One lost in confusion, too many lives lived aimlessly. Searching for something, something to believe. In this place of uncertainty, set me apart, find in me a man of meaning in God's grace. Strong conviction, fearless faith. In this world in need of redeeming, let me be a man of meaning. God, give me your wisdom and let your love flow endlessly. Lord, I will show mercy like you have shown me. You lived your life against the grain, and now let me do the same. A man of meaning in God's grace, strong conviction. I'm ready to be a man. Man of meaning in God's grace. Strong conviction, fearless faith. In this world in need of redeeming, let me be a man of meaning in God's grace. Strong conviction, fearless faith. In this world in need of redeeming, let me be a man of meaning. Lord, find in me a man.
Excuse me.
Oh, yes, can I help you?
I saw your sign out front, and my wife's birthday is coming up in a few weeks, and I thought maybe she'd like something, religious.
Well, I'm very sorry, sir. You see, we don't sell religious items here. We sell religions.
Oh, yeah? Well, how do you do that?
Well, we have... Excuse me, one moment. Yes, sir? I'm here to see about starting my own religion.
Fine, fine. Was there anything specific you had in mind?
No, not really. Just don't want no hell, that's all. Mm-hmm. You know, it's getting so a guy like me came and fall asleep in church without hearing a lake of fire this and fire and damnation that, you know. I want a church a guy like me can be comfortable in.
Yes, I see. Well, I'm certain we can do away with hell. Was there anything else you wanted?
No, not really. Anything I should want?
Well, let's see, how about heaven? Did you have any stipulations about entrance?
Any what?
Stipulations, rules, how do you decide who gets into heaven? Do you want everyone to go or what?
Let's see. No. There's definitely some people I don't want in heaven. Well, how do you keep them out?
Well, you make a rule that keeps them out. Personally, I prefer a rule that says one must earn his salvation by working for the church. You know, painting the sanctuary, gardening, going door to door with church literature. This also provides you with free labor.
Yeah, sounds good to me. Go ahead and write it in.
All right, sir.
Oh, wait a minute. I ain't got no church to paint or garden to weed. What do I do?
Why don't you send your followers door-to-door with these?
Watchtower, huh? Not much of a name, is it?
Well, I admit so. They're not much to look at. But if you send your followers door-to-door asking money for them, it won't take long for your church to develop quite a reputation.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, now, what do we do with those people who do not make it into heaven?
We send... Oh, wait a minute. We did away with that, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Well, I don't know. What do you do with them?
Might I suggest annihilation?
Annihilate?
Annihilation. It's quick, simple, painless. It's really the best way.
Well, whatever you say.
Oh, right now, what do you plan to call your church?
Oh, was hoping to call it Bill and Fran's Church of Fun. Fran's my wife's name.
Yes. Well, sir, if I might be so blunt, do you really need a flashier name than that? I mean, Bill and Fran's Church of Fun would be fine if you were opening a restaurant, but it's hardly a religious title, don't you agree?
Yeah, I guess you're right. What do you suggest?
Well, how about the New Christ Church, or the Jesus Workers?
No, I want to keep Jesus and Christ out of this as much as I can.
Yes, excellent idea when one makes up his own religion. How about the Jehovah Witnesses?
The Jehovah Witnesses? Yeah, okay, I like it. Got a lot of clout.
Yes, fine. Now, just sign here and we'll bill you later.
Okay.
Sir, the red pen, please. It is customary.
All right, swell. Boy, this is great. Wait till I tell Fran. She'll die.
Yes, she will. Now, I'm sorry for keeping you waiting. Was there anything I could help you with?
Well, I'll be. You really do sell religions here. Holy moly.
Precisely.
Is business any good?
I should say so, and it gets better all the time. All the time.
It's amazing what people will believe.
Yes, isn't it, though? You know, I've been in this business a long time, and I always get a kick out of these people.
I bet you hear a lot of different ideas, huh?
No, not really. Well, most of them think they're onto something new and different. Well, occasionally you see a new twist, but basically old Solomon was right. There's really nothing new under the sun. Oh, excuse me, just one moment. Yes?
Howdy. You the dude giving out with the religions?
Yes, I am.
Good. I want a religion that worships cows and horses.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but that's already been taken.
That's what?
It's been taken. Gentlemen, this morning, the Hindus believe that all animals are sacred, sir.
Well, I'll be a skunk's armpit. I come all this way with my heart set on a religion that worships cows and horses, and you tell me some varmints beat me to it. What am I gonna do? I mean, what are you gonna do?
Well, you could start a reformed Hindu movement?
Come again?
Reformed, it's kind of your own brand of Hinduism. You might like it, you know. They don't believe that sinning is always bad.
I like that.
Yes.
So where do I put my mark?
Oh, we have a place for you right here, sir. We'll bill you later on this.
Kind of thick ink, ain't it?
Yes, thicker than water, you might say.
You ain't seen the water I drink.
Well, these are your official church documents. Just read them over and fill in the blanks.
Well, I don't know how to read.
Wonderful. Perhaps someone could read them to you, sir.
Well...
Sir, do you like bedtime stories? Fairy tales?
Yeah.
Oh, these are quite a bit like that. I'm sure you'll enjoy them.
Okay, thank you kindly, partner. Look out, Tombstone, here I come!
That is just amazing.
What is?
I mean, how you just make that stuff up like that?
I beg your pardon, I don't make anything up. Why, I'm like any other salesman. I merely ask the customer what he wants and... Then I give it to him.
Well, I've been around a long time, and I've never seen anything like this. Is this all legal?
But of course it is. My good man, it's everyone's constitutional right to worship anything. Any way that he chooses.
But what about God?
Who?
God.
Oh, yes, him. Well, God is really a relative term. You understand, it means different things to different people.
Amen.
And could you shut the door, please?
Door. Yeah.
Excuse me one moment. Yes, were you looking for something?
Yeah, is this the place you come to get your own religion?
Yes, it is. What is it you were interested in?
Who, me? Oh, well, I'm kind of into a space bag, you know. Stars, cosmos, planets, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you want to start a religion based on these things?
Wow, could I? Far out.
Well, I'm sure something can be arranged. Now, did you want something in just space or something broader? Say, science fiction in general.
Oh, yeah, I'm really into science fiction. Might say I'm kind of a sci-fi high man. You know, the other night I had a close encounter of the fourth kind. I thought I was a UFO. I was flying around the room, ricocheting off the walls. You had to be there.
Yes, well, I could see where that might make your evening. Well, we do offer a special mystic package, which includes UFOs, ESP, the stars, numerology, and a lifetime subscription to the National Enquirer.
Far out. That's it. That's what God is all about.
Very good. Now, by the way, do you have a name for your church?
Oh, yeah, man. Dig this. My friend Clem and I thought of this one. How about the Knights in White Satin? Can you dig it? Can you get that feel? The nights and lights?
Yes, so can about a million others. You see, that was the name of a hit 45 some years back.
Oh, bummer, man.
Yes, I can see where that might bring you down.
You're cool.
Might I suggest the Unitarian Church?
That's copacetic. Okay, go for
fine,
it.
Fine. Sign here. We'll bill you later on this.
Far out. Red ink, kind of like my eyes. Hey, man.
Yeah?
I'm kind of into a Unitarian bag. Want to buy some flowers, send a dope fiend to camp?
Well, all I have is this 20 for my
hey,
wife's
that's
birthday.
Cool.
Hey, you crook. Hey, come back here. Hey, that guy took my last 20 and he didn't even leave me any flowers. Hey, call the cops.
Oh, why? It's part of his religion. Look right here. It's under fundraising. It's all in black and white. Read
look,
it for yourself.
Look, I don't like this place, and I don't think I like you either. What? Now, if stealing money is part of his religion and you helped him with it, then you should pay me back my $20.
Now, hold on a minute. Just 1 minute. I merely sell religion. You saw for yourself. I fill in the documents, file the forms. Once someone signs on the dotted line, he's on his own. I don't guarantee these things.
No guarantee?
Of course not. So do you think I'd have sold a religion to Mary Baker Eddy if I had to guarantee it? Poor woman was falling apart. No, my boy. Besides, everyone in this business knows there's only one guaranteed religion, and that one's free. Well, fortunately, none of my customers know about it.
You must mean Christianity.
Please don't say that here.
Christianity? Well, what's wrong with Christianity?
Sir, control yourself. You're going to ruin a perfectly good sales area. Let me give you a little pointer, strictly off the record. Christianity and the products that I sell, they don't mix. It's like oil and water, black and white, light and darkness. Christianity is much too simple. All you have to do is believe in Jesus Christ, and the only thing to read is the Bible. Now, how could that confuse anyone?
Who wants to confuse anyone?
I do! I do! Young man, haven't you been watching? Haven't you been paying attention? For thousands of years, I've been trying to clutter men's mind with false doctrines, earning their salvation, worshipping idols, anything to keep them buried in confusion, to keep them from seeing the light.
The light?
Oh, sir, it's perfectly obvious you're ignorant in these matters. I haven't time to stand here and dilly-dally with you. We're going out of business soon. Here's my card. If you should ever need anything in the spiritual realm, don't hesitate to look me up. In fact, next week we're having a sale.
What kind of sale?
It's, a fire sale.
Yeah. Next stop, Cleveland, Ohio.
Excuse me, how long until we get to Paris?
Ma'am, this train goes from New York to Chicago.
I'm sure this train is going to Paris, otherwise I wouldn't have boarded it.
Lady, there is no train from New York to Paris.
Well, I believe we are going to Paris.
Excuse me, did you say we're going to Paris?
No, we're going to Chicago.
But I believe we're going to Paris.
You believe we're going to Paris? I didn't pack for Paris.
It doesn't matter what she believes, trust me.
She believes one thing and you believe another, but we're on the same train. You can't both be right. Right.
Yeah, but she looks really sincere in what she believes, so we're going to need passports.
And he's paid to believe what he believes.
Look, this has nothing to do with who believes what. This train is going to Chicago.
He's not very open-minded. We must be going to Paris.
You know, some say that there are many ways to get to heaven, but Jesus said he's the only way, and he left no middle ground. So do you believe him or reject him?
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY. At lifelinepro.com.
And now, an End Times update.
This End Time Report update will cover several areas that may seem to be unrelated in the worldview, as we continue to watch the world fall into lockstep with the goals of a one-world order. First up, we'll put the focus upon several diverse countries that all seem to have the same end result or purpose in mind. What purpose? The goal is to force tracking technology and biometric identification upon every human. Now, let me just say that I realize how paranoid and melodramatic all of this can sound. I spend a great deal of time listening to the thoughts, ideas, observations, and conclusions of people with national radio coverage and a host of obscure little talk shows that you will probably never hear of that broadcast over the internet. Believe me when I tell you, I am familiar with crackpot conspiracy theorists and far-right and far-left-wing agendas. You need to be able to throw it all into the blender and see what comes out after a fine and thorough puree. My experience over the years has been that everyone has at least a little bit of the truth. So Holy Spirit discernment is essential. I monitor as much national and world news as I am able to do without going totally insane. And I prayerfully do the best that I'm able to put some of the pieces together as they line up with biblical prophecy. We are in a period of time that Jesus spoke of. He identified it as a birthing pains period, just preceding serious cataclysmic events that will take place before the Antichrist comes and then Christ returns. In fact, I'm currently working on the first Highways and Byways End Times special, which, Lord willing, will follow not far behind the upcoming release of our second Evolution versus Creation special. Well, I'll talk more about these projects later, but the point here is that I know the fanaticism and the sensationalism of radio talk shows and internet broadcast shows, as well as media bias and their desire to attract with provocative headlines and bylines. All of these share one thing in common. They're selling something, they're advertising something, they're looking to grow their base for economical purposes. And this is what separates us here at Highways and Byways. We only want you to be ready for the return of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that means being aware of the events that are going on around you, being aware of what the Word of God says, and knowing how to be prepared. We are hurling toward the events of biblical prophecy that will be fulfilled no matter whether a person believes in the words of the Bible, and specifically the words of Jesus himself, concerning end time matters. Our belief that his words were true are not necessary for him to follow through. They're going to happen whether we believe or not. So these end time updates are just little reminders of the details that are forming the system that we will know as a new world order or a one world government at some point soon. Now, Now, in the past, we've looked at countries such as England, who's made no bones about it when they've claimed that every citizen will have a national biometric identification card within the next few years. Anybody that's been convicted of a crime in that country has already been forced to surrender biometric information, and it's been placed in a national database, right along with folks who have already voluntarily secured national ID cards. So it makes perfect sense that we should now hear of British motorists who will have to pay by the mile as they drive in a scheme that will be put into place within the next 2 years. Each of Britain's 24 million vehicles will be tracked by satellite as a pay-as-you-drive charge will replace the current road tax. Now, originally, the government figured that this would not be possible for many years to come. However, since so many people have already paid for the satellite navigational technology in use in their own cars for their own private use, the government sees the opportunity to take advantage of these units by tracking drivers' comings and goings through their personal GPS units. I am so glad that our government would never dream of invading our privacy in such a way. Aren't you? Well, let me break away from a focus on England for just a moment here to emphasize the facetious statement that I just made. If you believe that it could not happen in our country, then you're in a fog of denial that has no clue that major cities and a growing list of mid to small-sized communities have camera surveillance systems that are connected to main observation control centers. I reported on the system in Baltimore that has the schools, transit authority, and local community surveillance cameras all tied in to not one but two separate command centers. I believe that's a report from year one of Highways and Byways. And it included the fact that all counties within Maryland are being tied into the system. We're now going into our third year of Highways and Byways, and these systems continue to be incorporated in cities all over our country. And if you're in a fog about all of that, then you're in a fog concerning laws and legislation that are in play right now that will mandate your surrender of personal biometric information for entry into a national database, which already exists, by the way. Now, I'm not being rude or cruel here when I say that you're in a fog. I'm just saying that this world system is coming together, first as an individual national system in each country. Then it will seem like an overnight thing when the Antichrist appears on the scene and says, "Trust me, I have a solution to the world's problems." But everyone needs to be a team player here and get on board with our marking system so that we can all be one big happy family with no worries, have a chicken in every pot, etc., etc. This national database of personal biometric information is also available in an ever-growing worldwide database linking system so that other nations can identify you with a wave of your biometric ID card or passport. Well, coming up, a few more tidbits of continuing efforts from several countries as we watch the world get smaller and smaller. From Moscow, we learned that Russia will begin to introduce biometric passports with personal data stored on an electronic chip in 2007. Now, their passport will be a 32-page document that will have digitally stored data and digital photographs. The same folks who print Russia's money, currently do their passports, and print the stamps for that country will also take care of these biometric passports. Meanwhile, some 400 passport control points are being equipped to read the biocards. And in the good old U.S. of A., changes in the way that visa waiver nations come and go across our borders is just around the corner. Now, visa waiver nations are countries that do not need visas to come into the United States, even for extended periods of time. This policy has existed for many, many years, but very soon their passports will have to include an integrated circuit chip capable of storing expanded biographic information. It's part of our Homeland Security Act. I've reported many times on the increasing demand for biometric IDs from without and within our own country as the world continues to march down a unified path leading to a unified purpose. From a group of people who want everything and everyone marked and tracked in all aspects of life. How else, my friend, does the Antichrist ultimately take us to that place where nobody will buy or sell anything without his mark?
Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth, that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword, and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak, and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
Testimony about Brother Jimmy.
Jimmy, he was a rebel. I still can't.
Jimmy got saved.
ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for the poorest man from the South, Gary Claxton, the mouth of the South.
Y'all heard my intro. I did grow up as the world's poorest man and the world's poorest family, I assure you. But I want to know, how many of you in here growed up poor like I did? Raise your hand. And I think some of y'all was lying just to make me feel better. But that's okay. Now, next question is, how many of you in here had parents at one time or another? Raise your hand. Have you ever had parents? Okay. All right. Well, people, I never had any parents. My mother and father were too poor to have children. The lady next door had us. People, I grew up in a shack. It was so bad, you had to wipe your feet to go outside. The whole cabin wasn't nothing but termites holding hands. And the roaches had to ride right on doom buggies just to get where they were going. It was that bad, people. But I remember even having faith and hope back then. Me and my brother Carl believed if we could just make it to Friday, everything was going to be okay. Because every Friday night, our father would take us down to Kentucky Fried Chicken, and we licked other people's fingers. My grandmother used to make one jar of fig jelly, and it had to last us all year long. So for the first 6 months, all she let us do was take our biscuit and sop it outside the jar. And then, just to keep us going around August, she'd unscrew the lid and let us smell it. People, I'm the youngest of eight. There was eight children, and my uncle, and my mother and father, so there was 11 mouths to feed. I did grow up poor. Now, with my eight brothers and sisters, I just told you I'm the youngest. When my oldest sister, Carolyn, was born, my father killed a little calf and made her a leather diaper. Now, that's all we ever had in our family was just this one leather diaper. And it was passed down, and passed down, eventually to me. Now, if you knows anything about leather knows, once that stuff gets wet, dry, wet, dry, wet, dry, that stuff gets rough. People, I'm here to tell you, I'm the only 37-year-old man living this day still suffers from diaper rash.
You know, it's so very true. Too often, we don't think about the things that we do day to day, how they'll play out in the big picture. We hear so much from the media about negative things that people do to one another and how it causes sad, lasting effects on innocent victims. These perpetrators of the innocent get far more notoriety than many folks who do kind and generous things for others. We don't hear about them very much, and most will go to their grave with the knowledge of what they've done to help others. But your Heavenly Father knows who you are, and there is a reward waiting. He promised it, and that's good enough for me. Now, if you listen to Highways and Byways on a regular basis, then you know that there are no pleas for money made for our support. We have a few regular subscribers who have Highways and Byways sent to their home, and a few others who support Highways and Byways from time to time. And in the process of their support or their subscription donation, they know that they also sponsor additional CDs that are given away freely at truck stops and hotels in the eastern region of the country. And regular listeners also know we sell nothing because our heart is simply to serve the body of Christ. And folks who may have no other connection to receive the Word of God in a life-giving manner. And all of this mention of what we don't do is not so that I can go ahead and do it anyway. Instead, there's something that I want to invite everyone who's listening to this CD to prayerfully consider. Something that will positively affect a very special person, and something that you might not get any credit for in the long run, until you stand face to face with the Lord. There's a chaplain at the Petro truck stop in Milton, Pennsylvania. That's where several hundred Highways and Byways CDs are distributed each month. Chaplain Chris is her name, and I'm here to tell you that even though Chaplain Chris is well over 80 years of age, she continues to make three chapel services a day available, always has time to sit and listen to an aching heart of a driver, is forever helping some person who needs bus fare to get back home. She feeds drivers and hitchhikers alike by purchasing their meals at the truck stop diner. And she's even helped down-and-out drivers with fuel when they were desperate for a way to keep on trucking to get to their next load. All of these things that she does, and more, come mostly out of her personal money, which simply can't be very much from month to month. Chaplain Chris lives in the rear portion of the chapel trailer, and she's surrounded by boxes and books of materials to give out to drivers and all the equipment that she needs to hold indoor and outdoor services. Even more boxes take up the back of the pews in the chapel area of the trailer. Now, I could go on and paint the picture more for you here, but I want to get right to the need and let you decide whether it's a worthy thing for you to help with. There's a collection of donations being gathered in order to put an 8x12 storage shed in behind the chapel so that Chaplain Chris can have some added dignity to her living space. Now, I've recently come in contact with a wonderful man of God, Pastor Mel Weaver, out of Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania. I know he kind of keeps an eye on Chaplain Chris through the Association of Christian Truckers, and he's agreed to receive all donations through his church's missions department. Straight up then, in the same way that I present everything else on Highways and Byways, I'm asking you to send out any size donation that you're able to send. This shouldn't be a hard thing for us to accomplish here. How much does an 8x12 storage shed with delivery and setup all cost? Now I'm going to give the address and the details for the check that you're sending out on the very next track. And that would be track number 13. Now, a request like this is a first for us on Highways and Byways, and I suppose it will be an excellent opportunity to see what kind of folks are picking up Highways and Byways and putting it into their CD players each month. If you've ever met Chaplain Chris, here's an opportunity to bless her, because I know if you've met her, she's blessed you. All right, now may God bless you and your heart to give. Get your pen and paper ready and write down the address that's coming up on the next track. All right, my friend, here's where you send your donation for Chaplain Chris's storage shed. You want to send a check to Grace Chapel, 2535 Colebrook Road, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, 17022. Now, I want to give that out to you again. Grace Chapel, 2535 Colebrook Road, Elizabethtown, Pennsylvania, 17022. Now, you want to make it out to Grace Chapel Missions. And down in that little area where you write what the check is for, just make a note, Chaplain Chris Storage Shed. Now, I'll repeat this part again. Make the check out to Grace Chapel Missions, and then mark down there in the notation area for Chaplain Chris Storage Shed. I want to thank you in advance for your generosity, for your willingness to do something to help here. Those are not just words that I'm saying to finish off this whole request to help Chaplain Chris. There is a hope and a desire inside of me to see Highways and Byways represented well when it comes to helping other people in the body of Christ.
And if you look on your right, you'll see the tree Ed Morris fell out of when he was only 10.
Ooh.
On the left is a house where Ed Morris was born.
Ah.
Excuse me, who's Ed Morris?
Who is Ed Morris? 60 years ago, Ed Morris taught a Sunday school class.
So, I do that.
Ah!
Stop
that. So he taught Sunday school.
One of the boys Ed taught was little Billy Morgan, who talked to his dad about Jesus.
Mr. Morgan told his sister about Jesus.
Who told her Uncle John.
And that's the John Preston who founded the hospital, the orphanage, and the university here in town because of his great love for God.
And none of this would have happened if Ed Morris hadn't taught Sunday school.
Do you think what you're doing for God isn't important? What we do may seem small right now, but faithfulness has big results, even when we can't see them.
Been here before, and I don't know what to say. Can't seem to open the door. My life seems so far away. Where it is that I need to be? Running in circles and chasing my dreams. You're just what I need. You're everything inside of me. You're just what I need. I'm tired of being lonely. Set me free. I've been down this road. Shoes are worn out from walking, carrying the weight of my own sin, looking for a new direction. Where it is that I need to be? Running in circles and chasing my dreams. You're just what I need. You're everything inside of me. You're just what I need. I'm tired of being lonely. Set me free.
We'll be right back.
Jonah Amittiason gets instructions from God to go east to Nineveh, capital of Israel's enemy, Assyria. He's to warn the city that God's on their case, but Jonah knows his God. If they get the warning, they might sort themselves out and then God won't destroy them. So he legs it to the western port of Joppa and buys a ticket to Tarshish, Spain. God sends gale force winds and the boat nearly does its Titanic impression. Jonah tells the crew, chuck me overboard, then watch the waves flatten out. This storm's down to me. They do. And it goes calm. They're all freaked out. God sends a huge fish to swallow Jonah whole. He's in its stomach for 3 days. Jonah's pleadings echo around its belly, but he knows God's heard him. Sure enough, on God's cue, the fish throws up onto the beach and Jonah is delivered. But not looking his best. Hair bleached in digestive acids and smelling of parfum de fish vomit. God gives him a second chance. Nineveh, ASAP. Same message. This time Jonah goes, gives them God's warning and starts the clock on a 40-day countdown. As he feared, the wake-up call works and they sort themselves out with God. So he cancels his large lightning order. Of course, Jonah's well miffed. Jonah spits out at God, I knew it. This is exactly what I said back home. Why do you think I was on turbo drive to get to Tarshish? I know you. You're generous. You're passionate about people. It takes a lot to rile you, and you can't help loving people. You just love it when you can call off the dogs. So kill me now, God. I'm better off dead. God comes back at him. Who do you think you are? What right have you got to be angry? Jonah storms out of Nineveh and fumes for a while, watching the skies, hoping for an electric storm to hit the city. God grows a vine to protect Jonah from sunstroke, and Jonah grudgingly thanks him. In the night, God commissions a worm to chew the life out of the vine. Jonah wakes up to find it withered and pathetic. The day's a scorcher, and Jonah's getting dizzy with the sun. He's in a mood because the vine's gone, and he does his take me now, God, routine again. God comes back at Jonah. What right have you got to be angry about the vine? Jonah's not thinking straight. He still wants to die. God says, you took a liking to the vine, but did you water it or plant it? Was it down to you that it grew? No. One day it was here, the next gone. And you're in mourning for it. Well, Nineveh has 120,000 people who are like little kids, not sure if they're coming or going. They need a dad. Why can't I care for them if I want to? Hard question to someone convinced God's only interested in the Jewish nation. It's tough admitting you're wrong.
This story about Jonah may seem about as hard to swallow as a fish could find swallowing a man whole, and then to be able to find that man alive later on. But did you know that Jesus had no problem with the story himself? In fact, Jesus makes no less than 4 direct references to Jonah in the book of Matthew alone, including verifying the fact that Jonah spent those 3 days inside of that great fish. And that's just what the Word of God calls it, by the way. We read in the original account from the book of Jonah that God had prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah. If we can accept that God created the universe, made you and I, and set into place every law of nature that exists, then we can certainly accept that God is more than capable of preparing a great fish to swallow one of his created beings whole. That same God is also able to preserve the man that has been swallowed by the great fish and ultimately make the fish swim up on beach and belch out that fellow. Not a trip that I ever want to take, mind you, but one that I know God could duplicate with me or any other person of his choosing. But you know what I suspect? I suspect that God, who has an interest in each and every one of us, has prepared a great fish of sorts for each of us to be swallowed by in the course of our life. I am speaking, of course, in a figurative or allegorical sense. This world is filled with snags and snares as we travel along life's proverbial highway, and God will never be short on ways to get our attention when He wants us to hear and obey. Not because He's some blue meanie, or because He's bored out of His mind and so decides to bring some trouble and trial your way. Now, if I have learned anything about the nature of God, at the very top of His nature is the attribute that makes it possible to find Him and develop a personal relationship with Him. I have found myself in circumstances equally dark and seemingly hopeless as Jonah may have felt while he waited to die inside of that great fish. Like Jonah, when I found that God was for some reason preserving me, I called out and surrendered my own will, repented of my rebellion to God's authority. And I sought God's mercy for another opportunity to regain a right standing with Him. It is true love that disciplines us when we go astray, just as a good parent will discipline their child when that child needs to get back on the right track. It is true love that comforts and restores when that same child acknowledges the need to get right with their behavior. Well, as Highways and Byways comes to a close for this quarter, I have but a short moment or two left here in order to let you know that whatever trial you're going through, whatever bad decision you've made, and no matter what you have done, God waits to hear you say that you're ready to get your behavior right with Him. Jesus waits to take away every sin that you've ever committed. And the Holy Spirit waits for an invitation to bring His guiding, life-giving power into your life. No matter how many times you may have heard that Jesus saves, you still need to take the time to invite Him into your heart to become Lord and Savior before you can actually have eternal life that God promises. So, have a talk with God. Invite Jesus into your heart and allow His Holy Spirit to empower you to understand the words that you read in God's holy word, the Bible. Get involved with other Christians and be strengthened in your daily relationship with your Creator. Nothing fancy here, my friends. No witty arguments to convince you to be saved. Just get her done, partner, before you run out of time to get out of the belly of whatever great fish God has prepared to swallow you. I want you to use the contact information on the front of the CD. Let me know about your decision to get right with Jesus. I have some very helpful resources to send out to you that will help you stay strong and stay out of that great fish syndrome as you go along down life's highway. Now may God bless everything that you set your heart and hands to do for Him, and may He also smile upon your own heart's desires in this life.
Sometimes it seems so complicated. There were times when I should have listened to that inner voice, and I hesitated. Sometimes I feel so close, and sometimes I feel so far away. When I do, I can always hear you say, pick yourself up and try again. You know I'll always be your friend. I'll be there when you roam. I'll be there to take you home. Sometimes it amazes me
magnitude of your love. It's unconditional, it's pure, it comes from above. The gift you gave to me and the price that you had to pay. Your inspiration, when I listen, I can hear you say, pick yourself up and try.
All right, it's time to give credit where credit is due. On track two, All Gone Fuzzy was the song. The group was called One Mile Down. Track four brought us Ken Ham from Answers in Genesis. On track five, we had another song, Man of Meaning by Sean Smith. Then track six brought us the comedy team of Isaac Airfreight with Religion Store. On track seven, another song, Everywhere I Go, Ralph Jeffers. Track 9 was an End Time Report by yours truly. On track 10, we had a song called Jimmy Got Saved by D.C. Riggs. It was a great song. Track 11 brought us comedian Gary Claxton, the mouth of the South himself, off of his Country Living album. And track 13 has the address for you to send the donation to help Chaplain Chris get her storage shed. So you can go back there and write that address down and make that check out for her. And track 15, another song, Just What I Needed, by Jeffrey Todd. On 16, Rob Lacey's Word on the Street brought us the Book of Jonah in about 2 minutes. Wow. Now, track 17 brought us an invitation for you to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you have not done so, go back and listen over and over again until you get her done. And on track 18, we had Take You Home, a song that was also by D.C. Riggs. And you're listening to track 19, and I still have just enough time to remind you that on the front of the CD that you're listening to right now is all our contact information, including a 24-hour voicemail line that you can call and leave a question that you'd like us to tackle on a future Highways and Byways, maybe a topic you'd like us to tackle, want to know what the Word of God has to say about a particular subject, don't be shy. Nothing's off limits. If you can ask it, God can answer it. And I also have enough time to remind you that the next special Highways and Byways edition is coming out towards the end of April, Lord willing. It's going to be part two of our Creation versus Evolution series. If you can't get by the place that you picked up your CD, you can use the contact information on the front of the CD that you're listening to and let me know that you'd like a copy of that Creation versus Evolution special, and I'll send it out to you. No strings attached. If you'd like to receive Highways and Byways and all of the specials that we put out on a regular basis, let me know that you'd like to subscribe to Highways and Byways. There's no set amount of money that you need to send in, and we're no longer suggesting any amount of donation. You do what the Lord tells you to do, and we'll be just fine. Just know this. Not only does your subscription get the Highways and Byways and the special sent out to you, you'll also be sponsoring free CDs for other people to pick up, just like you picked this one up. That about covers it for this month. I want to thank you so much for sticking with me to the end. Once again, may God bless you.